Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Brenton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane. How's it going, brother?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Hey, I think I'm going to take myself off the screen for a second here, Shane. They won't be able to hear me, which is probably a win-win for everybody. But I really just want everybody to see that sweet shirt you got on. Why don't you tell us about
it? Waffle House Edition. We talked about doing this a while back, and I don't know. I just plugged it in there in the computer, and it came up with that. So a lot of folks are saying, hey, we're having trouble becoming cousins. Well, if you click on the link, you can buy shirts, you know, get a coffee mug, whatever. We got a couple of cool stuff on there. And honestly, we talked about this. I'm going to put it out there. You got a shirt idea? Send it our way. We'll label it under cousin, whoever donated the idea. And then we'll put it up on the website so people can buy shirts and mugs based off what, because we got some creative cousins in here, man. As soon as I come up with something, they do something 10 times funnier. And I just appreciate everything they've done. So if you got an idea, shoot it to thatsecpodcast@gmail.com. And we'll be sure to give you guys the shout out when we roll it out.
Well, Shane, speaking of shout outs.
There he is.
Shout out the legend.
Legend. Cousin JR has done it again.
This time, Shane, Cousin JR has blessed Travis Shuttleworth. Travis, welcome to the family.
The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR.
Yeah. Appreciate you, JR. Welcome to the family, Travis.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, JR. Boy, he's here. He's early. What's going on, JR? He must have plans this evening. He wanted...
Hey, Cousin Tony says Shane's smothered and covered.
What's your go-to? You go to Waffle House, 2 in the morning. You've been drinking, watching football all day. Mm-hmm. What's Mike ordering off the menu there?
Give me I like the omelet with cheese and... usually ham.
And ham. Do you get hash browns?
I mean, I'll get whatever I can get, Shane. I like toast, and I like, I didn't even know you could do this. You can get them kind of like well done hash browns is how I like them.
Yeah, I do. I like it. I like the cheese. I like the ham involved. I like onion involved. So that's usually my go-to. Then I build around that. Got to get a waffle in there, you know, to kind of balance it out. But that's usually my go-to as well, brother. So I don't know. It's too early, Mike. Can't be start talking about food. You know, let's rein it back in.
Yeah. And speaking of, how about the realist, Shane? He says, can JR let me know where he works? Because I'd love to give memberships like him.
Are they hiring?
All right, Shane. So, hey, we're wanting to wind down list season.
Yes.
But I got one more good list in me, Shane. One more good one. I've ranked. Well, we do got a little bit of news. We'll get to the news in just a second. But I have ranked, Shane, every single SEC play caller.
Yeah.
For the 2025 football season, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. And really, I'm leaning towards, you know, there'll be some people that bicker and complain and this, that, and the other because, that's going to come naturally. But I'm going with a guy that I think is calling the plays.
Yeah.
Not always necessarily the offensive coordinator. It's not always necessarily the defensive coordinator. I'm going with a guy that I think is making the majority of the decisions on Saturday, and I'm calling that the play caller on each side of the football. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does make sense.
Okay, perfect. I'm glad you're locked in, Shane. I don't think you heard anything I just said.
No. I was just glad you didn't ask me like a serious, deep question. I'm just catching up with the cousins. A lot of them excited about baseball and softball. And, you know, I get it. And I'm rooting for your teams now that mine are not doing so well.
Right. And then, like I said, so this will be one of the last list seasons, maybe not forever, but... you know, Shane and I are sitting here calculating, putting on our wizard hats here, but we don't have many days, believe it or not, till SEC mm-hmm. media days.
Yeah.
So at least for show days. So what we're going to do, we're going to start our fall camp preview series. That's going to start on Tuesday. And Shane said, well, hell, what are we going to do? Let's put it up for a vote. It's totally optional. Nobody has to do it. But Shane had the idea. I thought it was a genius idea. I mean, that's all this guy is full of is genius ideas. But whoever donates the most on this show, you let us know who your team is. We'll start the fall camp preview series with them on Tuesday. So it takes a lot of work behind the scenes to get all this ready. So by the end of the show, we'll let you know who we're going to cover, who we're going to start the fall camp preview series. And here's the thing, guys, we've tried every year. We're starting it earlier than ever because the goal is to get all 16, right? I don't even think when we were at 14, we got all 14. So we have never covered every single team. Start it early so that hopefully we can get there and we can cover each and every SEC team. But Bob, cousin Bob coming through, $10.
Oh, Bob. There he is.
I don't know who Bob, who's your team, Bob? Let us know.
He's a diehard Vol fan. No, I don't know.
right. Hey, as far as donations go right now, Bob's in the lead. So whoever Bob supports, that's who we're going to go with for now. But hey, a little bit of news here, Shane, before we get to the coordinator ranks real quick. What happened here? House settlement.
Yeah, let's talk it.
Now, I don't think this is really that interesting because they've been hyping this damn thing up for a million years, Shane. But what does this mean? What is this house settlement? Very simply, all these programs got $20.5 million to pay athletes. And that's not just football. That's all the sports. And they can divvy it up however the hell they want. It's my understanding that in the SEC, somewhere between 85-90% of it's going to go to football and men's basketball. So that's kind of where we're at with that. And they still have NIL, but now here's where it gets tricky, Shane. So we got this 20 and a half we can spend, right?
Yeah.
And the schools are paying that. So this is across the board. Everybody in the SEC can spend 20 and a half million. Now they don't have to.
Right.
But I can't imagine you're going to compete in the SEC. You don't spend that money. But on top of the 20 and a half, we still got NIL, but any NIL payment over $600 moving forward has to be approved and has to be legitimate name, image, and likeness. Right. So you can't just go get, you know, a backup offensive guard for $602. You literally have to clear all that. Now, how in the hell is that going to work? I don't know, but they have people that are going to be in charge of that. And honestly, I don't think that's going to hold up because I think they're going to get sued into oblivion. But that's the current rule as it stands now. Any NIL payment over $600 has to be legitimate. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, this was a lot to take in. I listened to a lot of smart people talk about it, And you're right. It sounds like this is going to be lawsuit after lawsuit, but it is, you know, again, we knew the destination was going to suck, but the, you know, or at least getting to the destination. But once we arrive, I do think that this is a big step toward making college football better. You know, I'm hearing things about contracts. I'm hearing things about, you know, legitimacy, you know, no more pay to play, if you will. But I do think that this is starting to just clear up some of that muddy water that we've been in the last few years.
You think it does?
I think it will. Yeah. All this is heading to the, I'm telling you, brother, I'm not a part of this. You know, I didn't talk to any legislative. I didn't have any input in this situation, but yeah, I do think that, you know, when you start doing revenue share and things like that, when you're throwing out these numbers that the SEC is going to, which they already have been, but when the universities start paying, I think there's going to be some asterisks by that $601 check. You know what I'm saying? And when it's said, I do think that it will help us in the long run, as far as keeping your team together, keeping it at least from getting destroyed every offseason.
No, all it's going to do, Shane, I mean, that's nice. That was a nice spiel you got there. It's going to clear it all up. We're going back to old days. No, all it's going to do is lead to NIL payments under the table. It's going to be cash. Just don't report it. That's all this is going to,
What does that mean? What is legitimized NIL?
Okay, that means so, if you pay someone $200,000 to go to Tennessee,
yeah,
you just don't report it. You give them a, you know, however you get that done, you just give them $200,000. Don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Just like we did 5-10 years ago.
But what's the difference? Let's say John Smith's coming out of California.
Yeah.
Last year I gave him $100,000 to come over here to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. This year I gave him $100,000, but he's got to do a Toyota commercial. Like, what's the difference?
The difference is they got to pay taxes on that Toyota. They got to actually show up. They got to do the commercial. There's a contract involved and it's all, you know, something that the player agrees to.
But isn't there already that when you have these collectives that are paying, isn't there some sort of receipt that's being made when you give these kids money? I mean, everybody knew how much Nico was getting when he came over here. Mm-hmm. I'm sure IRS did too.
Well, that's the thing. They don't want to raise this money anymore. They don't want the boosters that are paying this shit. They said, we don't want to pay this anymore. Why am I paying Nico millions of dollars? He's not that good. And he can up and leave and go to UCLA in the middle of the night. I'm not paying for this anymore. So how do we keep paying these guys? The schools are going to have to pay it. That's why Tennessee's raising the prices.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like they're still going. It was going to happen anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like NIL is not just going away because we have revenue share. It's just the haves are going to spend maybe a little less, but still spend above their means to get whoever they want. And however I don't see a huge change, but I do see, again, with the money being allocated, that there's proof of purchase. And if you do a job, you get a receipt. You know what I'm saying? If you're coming into a university, it seems like there should be some sort of obligation to that university at that point, whether it doesn't have to be 4-year commitment, but I would imagine that there's at least a year, 12 months, because some of these kids are jumping in every damn portal that opens.
Yeah, I think it's going to keep it on, Shane. But you know who else is keeping on?
What's that?
Emily. Come on, hey, Emily.
She got it.
She just gifted a membership. Yeah, she figured it out, Shane. Shout out, Emily. She has blessed Brad Tide Grad 88. Brad,
welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family.
Courtesy of Emily, who's figured out how to... Oh, I think she's gifted two of these, Shane. Oh, man. Wait, oh, I think. Let's see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, let's see. And then also... here's her comment, Shane. Did I seriously just gift an Alabama fan? fail right there. And she also gifted Shane Hottie Toddy Fishing. So Hottie Toddy,
welcome
to the family. Courtesy of Emily. Appreciate you, Emily.
Absolutely. And
we figured it out, Shane. Bob, who gave us $10.
Yes.
He likes Oklahoma. So right now, we're doing Oklahoma Fall Camp Preview Series on Tuesday, unless anybody can beat $10. And Jason, we appreciate you, buddy. He gave us $5 for the MIZ. He may want to turn off because we're about to get the coordinator rankings. That's just a little teaser there. Mizzou did not rank very highly in these. But all right. So anything else about the House settlement, Shane? I mean, again, I think this is going to get sued into oblivion. I don't know why in the hell they were like, you know, this is going to fix everything and let's do Congress, let's do courts. I'm not a big fan of it, but I guess if it settles this for the next season, that is good.
Yeah. 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 That's right. That's all right. You know, again, I don't know. I'm the last guy you need to ask about this stuff because half of it was me asking ChatGPT, like, what does this mean?
So, now, I do think it's great for teams like Arkansas, Mississippi State, Kentucky, although Kentucky's probably going to spend most of it in basketball. But, you know, for teams like Arkansas and Texas, NIL is like a different planet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Arkansas now can legally pay $20.5 million to the football team.
Yeah.
Which... Again, is Texas A&M and Alabama, maybe they're going to spend more. They probably will. But I call me crazy, Shane. I don't think that you're going to build a roster that's significantly better. If one team's got 20 million and another's got 25, 30.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be that big of a difference. I could be wrong, but I mean, just because you spend more doesn't mean you got a better team. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I still think it's dumb. Like not the concept, not the kids getting paid, but just to pretend that revenue share is just going to fix everything and make it equal for everyone. It's like, it's not going to happen. Texas, you know, Sark came out and said he didn't spend $40 million for this roster, you know, but let's say university, they get $25 million for, or let's say 20, because I think they've got to give 75% to the football or something like that. And I'm not good with math, but let's just say it's around $17 million goes to the football team. Do you think just Texas is not going to have any more NIL to add to it? I think that's crazy talk. They're going to. They will always be one of the top spenders in this conference, and there will always be haves and haves not. So it's not fair to Vanderbilt. It's not fair to, you know, South Carolina, maybe Mississippi State, these teams, but it is what it is. And I feel like, I don't know, the just putting these different labels on and stuff or making the universities pay. The only thing that's doing is making the fans pay more when they go to the damn games, pay more when they get food or cold beer. You know what I'm saying? It's like forcing them to pay NIL, which they're still going to be collecting at the end of the year.
Yeah, no, I agree 100% with you. That's why I'm not charging all these folks. You know what? Even though we're asking for money. Hey, we got one more, Shane. I can't believe it. Emily, she's just gifted another one, Shane. A trifecta for Emily. What a cousin she is.
Cuz.
This time, Arkansas Skywatcher.
Welcome to the family.
Thanks to the legend, Emily.
Right now, Auburn's winning then. So that's $5 a pop. That's
welcome
15 bucks.
Welcome to the family.
The family.
Oh, no. We got a new Hugh Freeze. All right. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. She's in the lead here. So, I'm writing it down, Shane. Thanks to Emily. 15 bucks. Yeah. Auburn. So, hey, now we're doing Auburn. Unless someone can beat it. I may donate myself just so we don't have to do it. You know what?
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait for you to say something nice about Hugh Freeze.
All right. Ranking the coordinator, Shane.
Yes.
So here's how I did it. Oh, wait. Well, before we do that, here's who I think upgraded the most, Shane. There was not a lot of coordinator changing this offseason, which I thought was very interesting. I think a lot of that has to do with, why Billy Napier didn't get fired, right? Because it goes back to the house settlement. We got to pay $20.5 million if we had to give Billy Napier 25, 30, whatever it was, 30 million to go away. Now, all of a sudden, we got $50 million we got to pay, right?
Yeah.
So I think a lot of that, coaching continuity is back in the SEC. But who do you think... I think upgraded the most when it comes to coordinator changes. Who am I really high on in the SEC?
That improved the most?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question.
It's not a trick question.
I don't know.
You don't know who I got winning the SEC?
You're not a very positive person about coaches, you know?
Alabama, come on down, brother. I think this is the biggest upgrade in the SEC. Ryan Grubb over old Nick Sheridan. Again, they kept Nick Sheridan, so that, I don't know. I think he's coaching tight ends or something stupid like that. But again, I thought this was the biggest news in the coordinators realm in the SEC. The other one that was a massive upgrade, I think at both spots, Shane. The only ones to turn over both coordinators. Give me Oklahoma, Shane, with Arbuckle, the offensive coordinator, coming in, and then Brent Venables taking over the defensive coordinator responsibilities. So you could easily make the case that Oklahoma improved more than anybody in terms of coordinator upgrades. And I also like Florida. Again, this kind of technically happened last year, but Ron Roberts, defensive coordinator, and given a boot told Austin Armstrong, sometimes, Shane, when you hire a 22-year-old or whatever the hell he was to be your coordinator, that's a mistake here. Oh, Bob Boomer, 47 in a row, heard and seen it happen, 82 years old. Looks like it's Boomer Sooner, Shane. So, yeah,
Boomer's got the lead.
Let's see here. I think
Boomer Sooner.
Yeah. All right, so we're back.
So would you say, I mean, and I'm not saying this because Bob.
Thank you. Well, first of all, I want to thank Bob because that saved me from Hugh Freeze for a minute.
Yeah, so Oklahoma, that's you'd think if you were power ranking those three as far as offseason hires, you'd put Oklahoma first and then Alabama, or would you put Alabama first then Oklahoma?
I think I'd put Alabama first.
Oh, okay.
Because I just think it's such an upgrade over what they had.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't know a ton about Ryan Grubb. I'm not going to sit here and act like I watch Washington football, but Washington was awesome with him.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I was told Kalen DeBoer was this genius coach, and you know, not like he was awful, but he was not great. And all these winning seasons he had Ryan Grubb, and Nick Saban tried to hire Ryan Grubb.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying Grubb's better than DeBoer, but I think the combo of them, I think that'll be very, very beneficial for Alabama this season, if that makes sense. But again, you could easily say Oklahoma upgraded more. I think you could say Brent Venables was already the defensive coordinator, and maybe that's why Zach Alley left to go to West Virginia, I think, you know?
I like this comment from Mike. It says, Mike, we were ranked 150 out of 130 teams in offense last year.
That's true, but, they're not going to like me saying this, Shane.
Yeah.
I think if they had Ben Arbuckle as their offensive coordinator last year, I don't think they were like awesome.
Yeah.
I think it was, the line was devastated. The receivers got hurt. They didn't have a huge impact running back. And of course, quarterback was a problem.
Yeah.
So I don't care if they had may he rest in peace, Mike Leach as the offensive coordinator. You know, I think Mike Leach would have done a hell of a lot better job, but I they wouldn't have been like top five or top 10 or, you know, I just think it was too much to overcome.
Yeah, no, I get it. I was just pointing out the tweet there.
Don't do it. Don't do it. And then who downgraded, or I'm not even saying downgraded. I'm saying kind of question marks.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I told you there wasn't a lot of turnover, right?
Yeah.
South Carolina, I'm interested in it. Now, they already had Mike Shula on staff.
Yeah.
But Dow Loggins, who we thought that was a questionable hire. Remember, I don't know if you remember this, Shane, but remember Beamer came out here and said, well, did you know five SEC teams interviewed? Remember, like he had to he had to come out here and explain why in the hell are you hiring this guy? But Dow Loggins did a hell of a job with Sellers. And now he's the coach at Appalachian State. So you don't get a head coaching job unless you're pretty well respected and you did a good job calling the plays. Now, again, Shula was there, so it's not like they're reinventing the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, that's a question mark. And then Clark Lea, you know, part of the reason they did so well last year, he took over the defense, and now he's stepping away from that to be more the head coach with Steve Gregory. So those are kind of the two big question marks in my mind, in terms of new coordinators in the SEC. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. And it's funny because Loggins, I probably deleted six or seven tweets last year with his, like, you know, I can't wait to fire this off. And then all of a sudden South Carolina's working. And I'm like, oh, maybe he is good. You know, I mean, it was a rough start. Don't get me wrong. But by the end of the year, I feel like South Carolina lost a good one.
All right. So here's how I did it, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
I've done this before. I think it kind of blew your mind. So I'm going to try to explain it real quick here, right?
Yes, I'm focused.
I've got all the offensive coordinators ranked,
mm-hmm.
1 through 16. And then I've also got the defensive coordinators ranked, 1 through 16.
Yeah.
So I know you're into golf now.
Mm-hmm.
What you want
is a low number.
So that all makes sense to you, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, like, so I'm going to go through the offensive coordinators, then we'll do the defensive coordinators, and then I'll give you the final score to let you know who's got the best damn coordinator play callers in the SEC. How's that sound?
Sounds great. Sounds great.
Well, because of Ben, he's still talking about you and Elko going at it. All right, number one, offensive play caller. Mm-hmm. And I got these in tiers as well. I think these three guys, you're really splitting hairs. I really do. But I got to give the edge to somebody, right?
Yeah.
Give me the edge. Number one offensive play caller in the SEC. Mm-hmm. I love to give this guy a hard time, Shade, but give me Lane Whiffen. Come on down. He's been doing it forever. I think he's done a hell of a job, obviously, at Ole Miss. And, I don't think he's got the most talent to work with. I know last year he had a lot of talent. I think he somewhat mismanaged it. But I don't think there's anyone better on a Saturday game day calling the plays on the offensive side of the football than old Lane Whiffen Kiffin. And sometimes he's got to dodge them golf balls, Shane. But even he can dodge them golf balls.
Yeah.
And still win you a game. What's your thoughts on that?
I won't argue. I won't argue with this message either. The only thing Elko is fighting is GERD. No, I'm right there with you. And to say not, I would be lying. You know, I try to find creative ways to say Lane Kiffin's not a good coach. But, yeah, I think you nailed this one.
And then, again, these top three guys are in a tier of their own, I think.
Yeah.
Cousin Paul says Lane couldn't dodge a wrench. Number two.
Yeah.
Splitting hairs here. Give me Sark. Steve Sarkisian down there at Texas. Mm-hmm. Could easily put him number one. You know, it's interesting though, Shane. You tell me. There are a lot of people. Again, I think he's done a hell of a job. He's clearly done better than I thought he would do at Texas. He's got a world of talent. They got billions of dollars down there to buy a roster. But it, you know, a lot of people have had A&M's had a money to burn for 20 years. They can't put together a college football playoff team. But do you think it's fair at all? Again, Ohio State was really good, right?
Yeah.
There was a lot of Texas fans saying, "What in the hell? Where's these play calling in these critical situations?" I just recently rewatched Ohio State game. I was this weekend. Mm-hmm. I was shaking my head, Shane. I was shaking my head, and I don't know. I'm picking out like tiny, tiny little scabs here. Yeah. Hell, Lane Kiffin can't even get to the playoff. But I don't know. If you can think back, I know that was a long time ago. A lot's happened. Do you think it's fair to critique Sark for any of his big game moments here?
I mean, critique, I guess in the moment, but you were there, you know what I'm saying? So It's tough for me to get on to somebody deep into a playoff and like just throw out the credit that should be given for the 12 games that got him there. I'm not going to critique you in big games because there was big games during the season. You didn't get the Georgia games, you know, but some of that, I don't know. I don't know if some of that. I mean, that's what we do. A knee jerk reaction. You have a bad game. You either blame the coach or the ref. It's like one or the two. Sometimes a player. You know.
Okay.
I can't. No. I think Sark is what he's done has been fantastic, and it's a fun offense to watch.
But I think some of what you just said, you're looking at the coach, head coach.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the play caller. That would just be my, again, I'm splitting hairs here. And like I said, Kiffin can't even get there. So you can easily say that. All right. Number three, again, these top three, I think are in a league of their own. Mm-hmm. Come on. You already know, Shane, you already know who's in reinvented college football. Basically Josh Heupel. Come on down. Number three. Again, he had to switch gears. I don't think he had a quarterback. He thought he could trust. So they became a running juggernaut. You know what I mean? So, yep. I think it's very hard to pick apart anything Heupel's done, other than maybe a road game here or there. But again, that's got very little to do with play calling. Give me Give me Heupel, number three offensive play caller in the SEC.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And when you're doing this, I feel like prime Heupel was when Golish was there. But do you factor that in, even though you're like with Sark and, you know, with Lane Kiffin? I mean, he's not the only one with the headset over there, but do you subtract or add a few points based on, you know, who's assisting him?
No, because I think too much is made of that.
Yeah.
I mean, who do you love more than any? I mean, remember there was about a week ago, you couldn't get this man's name out of your mouth. I think it was more Hendon Hooker.
Yeah. Oh, I love Hendon Hooker.
Then it was damn Golish. And that's not to take away anything from Golish, you know? Great players make these coaches look even better. And I don't think there's a damn one of these coaches that's going to look very good if they had, Troy's roster.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just don't. You need great players. I heard someone say this over the weekend, Shane. Andy Reid couldn't win the damn game to save his life, the big game to save his life, right?
Yes.
He gets Patrick Mahomes. I can't lose. You know what I mean? Like, he was an idiot. Now he's a genius. You know what I mean?
Let me ask you, if last year Tennessee had Hendon Hooker, would they have made the national championship?
I think they would have won it. Come on. No. All right, number four. Now, again, I got these next couple in a tier of their own. I think these guys are all kind of grouped together. Give me number four. Give me the madman down here, Shane. Bobby Petrino. Come on. You know, he has had a fall from grace, no doubt. But I think he's kind of back. And I thought he had a very solid debut. And I think Arkansas offense is going to be sneaky good this year. What's your thoughts on old Bobby P, as long as he's not on a motorcycle, number four overall?
Yeah, I mean, because Arkansas was actually fun, you know, and that was overnight. And I feel like going in here, that's why I'm not like overly excited because of the roster, but I am a little pumped up about year two Bobby P in the system, because I saw it, man. I saw moments in mini games last year where if it weren't for him being on that sideline, Arkansas may have won two games, it felt like. So yeah, I am very high on Bobby P, and I think he's a great asset down there in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, just the biggest question mark, and you know, I hate to repeat myself because we kind of talked about it all off season, but it's just, do they have the players?
Yeah,
and we know they sure as hell got the quarterback. So, all right, number five, I think this guy gets too much heat, Shane. I think he's an excellent offensive coach. Give me Mike Bobo. Come on down, Shane. He's finally got his guy, Gunnar Stockton. He's been wanting, you know, Gunnar Stockton since that guy was like in the ninth grade. He's finally got his quarterback. I think that's going to fit him to a T. Mike Bobo, record-setting offensive coordinator. I know he's never won a big one, but, you know, Georgia may very well do it this year. What's your thoughts on Mike Bobo, number five?
Let me ask you something. If Mike Bobo were with Arkansas, would you think they would have more success or less success than they did last year with Bobby P on the sideline? Or the same? I'm just trying to, because I feel like sometimes, and I've seen this with some of Nick Saban's greatest teams, you know, he always does this. He would coach these kids up, this coaching, you know, he'd get these coaches in rehab. They kind of joked about it, but you give them five-star athletes all around, and then all of a sudden your system looks pretty good. And then all of a sudden you're getting another opportunity elsewhere. And some of them succeeded, some of them fell back on their face. So I'm just curious, is there a little bit, and I'm not saying all the teams, but there's several teams that are just absolutely loaded, Georgia Bulldogs being one of them. And Mike Bobo is a guy that gets criticized when shit goes bad, and he doesn't get any credit when it goes good. So I'm just curious, in your opinion, is this skewed at all because of the talent that's down there in Athens?
No, because he's been in the SEC a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he got any credit for what he did at South Carolina, where he had a guy named Kevin Harris, who no one heard of, literally. And then I believe he led the SEC in rushing. And then his quarterback was, I think his name was Hill.
Yeah.
some guy they got from Colorado State that, I mean, he literally had like half a good knee. And again, were they prolific? No, but they were solid. Mm-hmm. And as soon as, I think it was Muschamp's last couple of years there. I mean, the thing fell apart on him. And then what happens? And then he goes to Auburn. And I don't know why Auburn people just completely like this erased from their memory. But the first year under Brian Harsin, he was the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
They were first place in the SEC West going into November. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what happened in that first game? Mm-mm. Bo Nix broke his like ankle or something like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then they nearly beat Alabama, which was about to go to the playoff with TJ Finley at quarterback. You know what I mean? So, no, I think Mike Bobo is a hell of an offensive coach. I really do.
I was just saying, you know, people ask the questions. I'm just sending them to you. I was right there with you. What was it? Colorado State. You know, it looked terrible when he was over there. But then, like, I was with you.
He beat Chad Morris.
I'm just saying.
Remember that? I mean, that's pretty impressive. You take Colorado State, you beat an SEC team on the road.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just devil's advocate here.
All right. How about, again, this guy, I don't know quite how to rank him, but I'm giving him a lot of respect, Shane.
Yeah.
Number six, give me Alabama offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb. He could be higher than this. Again, they coached up Michael Penix, took Washington to the national championship game, turned around Fresno. Their quarterback went on to the NFL. Jake Tainer, I think is his name. Mm-hmm. So I've given this guy a lot of respect, but I can't put him any higher than number six because we've not seen it in the SEC. And I can't tell you how many of these coaches come into this conference. You know, they're supposed to be fantastic. They're elite. Then they get exposed pretty quickly. So give me Alabama offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb at number six.
Yeah, but again, he's a guy that's been on a lot of short lists. So I think maybe that's why we're giving a little credit. But because he is coming to a system that he's familiar with. It's a little different than, you know, Klein and A&M or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Do you feel like he hits it a little sooner just because he's going to be not mirroring, but kind of doing the same thing that they were doing a couple years ago?
I think the expectation of Tuscaloosa is that they will have the best offense in the SEC.
Damn, that quick.
I'm saying, will that happen? Yeah. I don't know, but I think that should be their expectation.
Yeah.
And then they'll blame it all on Jalen Milroe. You know what I mean? If they have a great year, you know, they'll be like, well, he just couldn't, you know. I'm not in that camp, but I think people will. Yeah. All right, number seven. I don't think this guy gets any respect at all, especially from you, Shane. But I think he's an elite offensive mind. Give me Jeff Lebby down there at Mississippi State. And again, it's like, yeah, they're awful, right? But, I mean, this guy's been an offensive coordinator at Oklahoma. It was the only damn good year they had under Venables, 23. He was the offensive coordinator. They were scoring quite a bit here in the first year with a true freshman quarterback. He's been at Ole Miss. They had a ton of – they went to the damn Sugar Bowl when he was offensive coordinator at Ole Miss. I think Jeff Lebby is a hell of an offensive coordinator. Give me Jeff Lebby number seven.
I think he's a great offensive coordinator. I just don't think he's a great head coach yet. Okay. I'm not saying he can't be it, but – that's why I give him a hard time. That's why I think Mississippi State deserved better. But, you know, again, it may be a thing. People love offense. People love explosive offense. You know, you had the Pirate over there. We got excited about that. And then it kind of went away with Arnett. Now we're back. And I could get behind this because honestly, even though last year didn't go as planned, there was a lot of good games, mainly because of the offensive side of that football. And they found quarterbacks. New name would pop up every Saturday. Like, hell, this could be a guy. Well, maybe it's because the coach is putting him in the good spot. So,
mm-hmm. All right, number eight, Shane Gibby, one of my favorite punching bags in the conference. Come on, Shane, give me old Billy Napier, number eight again. I don't think he's fantastic as a play caller. I think he gets a little too much heat. You know, they love to run the ball down there. He's developed some nice quarterbacks. So, maybe a little underrated, maybe a little overrated. I'm not sure where in the hell to put this guy, but give me number eight offensive coordinator, play caller, and the SEC, Billy Napier.
Yeah, that's a good spot right there in the middle. You know, I'll give him another 5 years.
And then here's another one, Shane. Again, I don't know where to put this guy. Let's put him number nine, mm-hmm. Colin Klein, Texas A&M, Shane. Again, I don't think people realize it. I tried to say it many times on this show. A&M led the conference last year in scoring in conference games. Not, you know, we're discounting the 52 they scored against McNeese and 26 Bowling Green. We're not counting those games. We're counting just conference games. Led the SEC in scoring, but hell, some key games they didn't show up, particularly Texas, Notre Dame, South Carolina. So. You know, I think it's a big year for Colin Klein. I don't know that he gets a year three, but I'm not saying he's bad. I don't quite know where to put him after 1 year. So give me number nine, offensive play caller.
Yeah, I think this is one that may go up the list, especially when he has more talent. I think second year Reed, you're going to see this program hit a lot quicker. So, yeah, I'm more optimistic about him being down there in College Station than I am, you know, pessimistic.
Hey, here's a shirt idea. Fire his ass.
Get it out of here. Put it on a shirt. I like it.
All right, number 10. This is another tough one for me, Shane. Give me Vanderbilt offensive coordinator Tim Beck. I think he did a masterful job, but, you know, there's a lot of questions. Is it him? Is it Jerry Kill? It's certainly Jerry Kill's system. It's Diego Pavia. But I think Tim Beck deserves a hell of a lot of respect for what they did last year at Vanderbilt and mostly just stealing possessions and scoring, you know, a hell of a lot more than they're used to down there on the West End.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, this was one of those hires I didn't think much of last year, but brother, I mean, you talk about a dynamic duo, these two together, it's just – That's kind of why I'm looking at Grubb. That's what it looks. Some of these guys that have that experience, you know, I just feel like that you can't mimic that. That's just something that's natural. And brother, it looked natural up there in Nashville. So I like this one. Another one I'd probably have a little bit higher just because of where they were to where they're at.
Okay. Number 11, Shane, Mizzou offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. Kirby Moore. I love this guy last year. Hate this guy this year. Not hate, but, just wondering what the hell happened to that offense that I thought was going to be prolific that didn't quite live up to the billing. I just think his stock's down right now, but it could skyrocket right back up if they nail the quarterback. Looks like they got all the other pieces around them. But give me Kirby Moore, number 11, offensive play caller in the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, I could get that. I can't argue that just because of the talent they had last year, and it just felt like, what are you doing? Like that old meme with the stick. It's like, do something. I felt like that many, many times last year that this offense just couldn't get going. Of course, if you've got no backup quarterbacks and the one you in there has, you know, one good arm, it does start to take a toll. And maybe that may be part of our problem is that the offense kind of had to go around that. So, yeah, I'm going to hold off for this season before I move him up or down the list for sure.
Well, just get ready for Shane say this guy should be higher. Give me number 12 play caller, Shane. Hugh Freeze, come on down. I think he, you know, at one time, about 10 years ago, he had an offensive system that was pretty innovative, but not anymore. I don't think so anymore. Now, again, maybe it was the players. Could blame the quarterback all day long. That was his guy. He's, you know. That was his guy until it wasn't, Shane. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I mean, how many times did we watch a football game last year, Auburn football game, and say, why in the hell are they not giving it to that beast back there, Jarquez Hunter?
Yeah.
Hmm? And then when they wouldn't, they'd say, well, quarterback audibled out of it. You know, it's like, that was an excuse for every damn thing. So, give me Hugh Freeze, number 12 play caller.
I'm right there with you. And mainly because, you know, when you talked about early Lane Kiffin and you talked about Josh Heupel, it's like they identified what it's like the NFL. You know, you whatever's good, we're going to lean in hard on that. And that's why I feel like Ole Miss shifts so so much back and forth from throwing to running. It just depends on what Lane feels like he's the strongest at. And then all of a sudden that's what that team's going to be really good at doing. And Auburn, it's almost like sometimes we were trying to fit that square peg in the round hole. Like, we're going to make this work. Peyton Thorne's going to be the thing, you know? It's like, how about you just give it to the running back that everybody else wished they had on their roster, you know?
How about Cousin Bend Over? Shane says, you freeze his Timo Jimbo Fisher.
Oh, my gosh, no. There should be some words we should not be able to use on this show, and Jimbo is one of those. Chad Morris is the other.
All right, now, in fairness, Shane, I don't know where to put this guy, so I put him right here, 13. Ben Arbuckle, Oklahoma offensive coordinator, did a hell of a job. Washington State made John Mateer the top portal target, scored 40 touchdowns. Washington State was effective on offense, and then, of course, he coached Cam Ward before he went down to Miami, became number one overall pick. So, yeah. Again, I think I'm probably underrating him, but I kind of respect is maybe not the right word, but you got to prove it to me in this conference. I'm not going to just shoot you up the list. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Old Silver says Jimbo just cashed another check from
No, from Texas A&M is what he's saying.
Yeah. They're
going to be paying his ass for a long time.
Yeah, he's got it made.
All right, how about number 14, Mike Shula, South Carolina offensive coordinator. I just saw someone in the comments, Shane. They said, buddy, Shula coach Cam Newton and Josh Allen will be an elite combo with him and Sellers. Maybe. But again, what did I just say about, I mean, hell, Cam Newton, maybe the greatest college player ever. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen, maybe a top two NFL quarterback. I mean, hell, call me crazy, Shane. I don't think Mike Shula made Cam Newton and Josh Allen. I think those guys, if anything, made him. You know what I mean?
Do you remember Derek Dooley on the sideline talking to Dez Bryant? Nobody says, look at all the success that Dez had because of Dooley. You know, just because you were there doesn't mean you're the reason that they made it.
Right. So, again, I don't know where to put Mike Shula, to be honest with you, but I'm sure Lenore Sellers will make him look fantastic.
Yeah.
Because Lenore Sellers might be the best damn player in the entire conference. And if he is, then Shula's going to be probably like a top five offensive play caller in the conference this year.
That's the big thing for me. Shane Beamer is the coaches that he's not created, but curated, you know, that the ones that he is groomed to the next level. I mean, he is putting out head coaches, not just coordinators at other schools. So I have no doubt in my mind that Shula's in a great spot. He got a great opportunity. I mean, who would not want to work with a Heisman candidate like Sellers? I mean, somebody's going to get credit on that coaching staff. So he's in a great spot there. And at the end of the year, we may say, oh, look how far Shula's went. But let's not forget the guy he's working with.
Yeah, and I think you, devil's advocate, Shane, you could sit here and say, you know, the way these coordinators are getting paid.
Yeah.
I don't know this for a fact. I really don't. But I would think the offensive coordinator at South Carolina makes more money than the head coach at Appalachian State.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they told Dow Loggins to hit the damn road because we got Mike Shula coming. You know what I mean? Like, there's
who his daddy is.
There is a chance that they pushed him out because they had a better coach on staff. Again, I'm not saying that is what happened, but Dow Loggins, maybe it's not just for money. Maybe he wanted to prove himself as a head coach. I don't know, but I think that's pretty funny. All right, number 15, Shane. Again, I'm sorry.
I should have said it. It's not his dad. Who is? So what is his relation to?
I think he's the nephew.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. My bad. I keep thinking of Frank and everybody. It's like father-son business, you know, but I was wrong. Apologize.
Well, I don't know who Joe Sloan's dad is, Shane, but his dad won't be happy because I got LSU's offensive coordinator 15th in the SEC. I thought this was a huge downgrade last year when they lost their coordinator to Notre Dame. What happened to Notre Dame? Oh, yeah, they just went to the damn national championship. So, you know, and you read these magazines, these anonymous quotes, a lot of the comment, Shane, or, you know, LSU is not coached that well, particularly on that side of the ball. Brian Kelly never, in my understanding, took the play calling duties at LSU till last year. Remember, he was with the play sheet all the time.
Yeah.
I think LSU should up. They need to upgrade an offensive coordinator. I really do think.
I don't know, man. They may just have enough talent around to upgrade that staff themselves. You know what I'm saying? This is, if you're asking me top to bottom who has the best offense, especially playmakers, I think LSU's on top of that list. And with that, you're going to have an explosion of offense. And yeah, the coaches are going to get some of that credit, I believe. But let's not forget who's throwing the ball, who's catching the ball, who's running the ball.
Explosion of offense.
Put it on a shirt.
That means dead last, Shane, the only guy we haven't hit to, and I think you'll agree with me here. Gimme Kentucky, offensive coordinator, Bush aimed in the bush. What are we doing to our proud Kentucky program? Dead last. I don't know why we hired this guy. I don't know why we retained this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you.
All right, so defense, let's try to get through defense a little bit quicker here, Shane. Yeah. Again, I got these top three guys in their own tier, splitting hairs here, right? Brent Venables, number one, Oklahoma. I think what he did at Clemson was masterful. I think the you got to remember, Shane, for years, I mean, Oklahoma fans will know this well. They won a lot under Lincoln Riley. You know what happened to their defense?
What?
It was fucking soft as shit. They couldn't stop anybody, Shane. Now they're a defensive like juggernaut. Now they can't get the offense right. Brent Venables has completely done a 180. I don't think you could do better than defense coordinator Brent Venables.
No. I think we're in a tier section right here. Mm-hmm. But yes, I will not argue with that.
And then number two, again, yeah, so it's here like 1, 2, and 3, neck and neck.
Mm-hmm.
This Texas defensive coordinator, he's blown me away. Shane Pete, I always screw up his name, Kowalski. I'm sure that's not even Mike close to the pronunciation. Yeah. But he is awesome, Shane. He's probably a future head coach. He could probably be a head coach if he wanted to. But Texas pays so damn much, Shane. He's like, well, why in the hell would I ever leave to not be a defensive coordinator when I'm getting paid down here? He's done a hell of a job. He has made Texas tough as hell on the defensive side of the football. There may not be a better defensive coach in the SEC than old coach Pete Kay.
Just ground him. Ground him. I mean, geez.
That's here it is. Kwiatkowski. There you go. Yeah. I just call him Pete Kay. You know what?
I bet he eats pierogies. You know? My grandmother's Polish, so I could say that.
Number three, Shane. Again, I'm putting these top three, just they're kind of like I'm splitting hairs here. If it was Kirby Smart that was calling the plays, I'd put him number one. But it's old Glenn Schumann down there. So yeah, that's how I understand it. So Glenn Schumann, Georgia, number three. Again, Kirby Smart, number one for sure, hands down. But I don't think it's a ridiculous take to put Georgia number three, their defensive coordinator, just because the top two guys ahead of them are pretty outstanding.
Yeah, no, again, this is a pipeline of defensive coaches that will be coming out of the University of Georgia. I do not see that changing anytime. You are learning from the best. You will be the best. So yes, this is a good spot for him.
Now these next two, I got in a similar tier, Shane. They're interchangeable in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I love the job that old Pete Golding, number four, has done down at Ole Miss. Completely turned around the Rebel defense. You know, they've been a train wreck too.
Yeah.
In years past, but now when it comes to recruiting, when it comes to developing, when it comes to just being effective on a defense, hell, they were better on defense than they were offense last year, I thought. So give me Pete Golding, number four. I think he's done a hell of a job. Alabama fans wanted his ass gone. They haven't recovered since on the defensive side of the football. You know what?
Yeah, no, that's the day of truth. When your defense changes because of a coach, you know, it's like, damn, we didn't know how good we had it.
Yep. And then number five, again, I don't know that this guy's 100% calling the plays. Mm-hmm. Sounds like he kind of will. It remains to be seen. If I knew for a fact he was calling the plays, I'd probably put him a little bit higher. But give me Mike Elko, Texas A&M. I was a little disappointed in our defense last year, particularly at the tail end of the season, letting Auburn go up and down the field on us, letting South Carolina go up and down the field on us. I remember Southern Cal. Remember after that one, Shane, we had the lead. They came back and stole it from us. Elko, that was the maddest I ever seen him, Shane. He said, buddy, changes are coming. I thought he fired the defense coordinator that day. He brought him back, but I think really he brought him back to call the plays over his head. So give me Mike Elko, number five.
I like it.
All right, number six. All right, now, these two guys I got in their tier two, I think they're neck and neck. I think they're both elite. Give me Clayton White, South Carolina defensive coordinator. He did a hell of a job. Probably got him too low on this list, Shane. He could be a head coach, I think, in the near future if he wants it. Again, these SEC guys get paid so damn much to be coordinators. They don't got to deal with NIL and all this other BS, but he has completely turned around South Carolina's defense, made it one of the best units in the conference last season. Give me Clayton White, number six, defense coordinator in the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, created a defensive juggernaut over there. So, yeah, this one I could see going a little higher. Who's the other one you got neck and neck with?
Shane wanted this man fired. I couldn't believe it, Shane. Give me Tim Banks, Tennessee. Oh. He was up for the Broyles Award, but on December 21st, check the tape, Shane said, get his ass out of here. We lost to Ohio State. But I thought Tim Banks did a hell of a job. Again, the defense better than the offense at Tennessee last season. And the main reason, or one of the key reasons, Tennessee made the college football playoff was that defense. Shout out Tim Banks. I think he's one of the SEC's best.
Oh, yeah. I would not disagree with you there. Unless he loses another one.
All right, number eight, Shane. Again, so these next three are in a tier themselves.
Yep.
Give me LSU defensive coordinator Blake Baker. I think he's the highest paid coordinator in the country. I put him all the way down at eight. It's probably too low. He did a good job with LSU last year, but remember, they really fell apart at the tail end of the season. Now this will be the year we really find out how good this guy is. But I was horribly disappointed by the fact that it's like they didn't know that the opposing quarterback could run the football. That's something we got to clean up here, Blake Baker. You know what?
Yeah. This is a guy that had a lot of hype, and I don't know where he was on your list last year, but we had him a lot higher, and he failed us. But there were moments, like you said, there were moments in the season, though, that we got to see a little piece of old LSU defense, and that was exciting. So, you know, I think that's a big one. Do you factor in any of the other coaches that are around him, like his defensive line coach or anything like that? Did you move it a little bit because of, you know, some other transitions?
Nope. I just think he's horribly overpaid is what I think. Okay. Again, he's good. Is he top coordinator in the country?
No.
You know who else got paid? And you're talking about bringing defense back. He brought it back to the Plains. Come on. DJ Durkin last year, Shane. Again, there's a lot of bad you could say about Auburn. Mm-hmm. But I thought their defense turned a corner. It was just the problem was the offense did not and turned it over left and right. So if they had a competent offense, I think Auburn would have made a bowl game and probably beaten a couple of these teams like a Mizzou, like an Arkansas, like an Oklahoma, like a Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. Hell, may have even been competitive against Alabama. But, you know, ifs and buts and candy and nuts, what have you. But DJ Durkin, he's done a hell of a job, I think, with Auburn's defense.
Absolutely. And because I got a lot of people that are like, how the hell you get them? This is Mike's list. You know, I'm just filtering through the comments here. So you got any problems with it? SEC Mike, go to him.
All right, number 10. Again, these three all neck and neck. Blaker, DJ Durkin, and I've lost a little bit of respect for the way this team's going. But give me Kentucky defense coordinator Brad White, Shane. They had some NFL guys. I didn't see it last year. You know, from what I hear, they're running a damn country club down there. They need to get a little bit tougher. I don't know if that's all on Brad White. I think it's more on Mark Stoops. But Kentucky, they used to have a top five defensive coordinator in the SEC, I thought. I've dropped them to number 10.
Yeah, I still would move them up a little bit because of...
Oh, you're moving back. You're moving everybody up.
I'm moving them up because we've seen really good Kentucky, and then we've given them credit. Just, you know, yes, they had a terrible season last year. I'm not saying that was because of Wyatt here. My opinion. your list, I think.
Well, at some point, you're going to have to say, well, I'm moving that guy down. All right, number 11, give me Florida's defensive coordinator, Ron Roberts.
Move him down.
Now, he took over, allegedly, around Kentucky. I think it was Tennessee. And the defense, aside from Florida, aside from Texas whooping their ass, they really turned a corner. So I think Ron Roberts may be underrated, but give me Ron Roberts. I need to see him be the defensive coordinator in charge for a full year. If Florida takes a big jump, he's got to jump up his list as well.
Yeah, let me ask you, big Gator Swag here says, Roberts is seventh. What he did at UF last season was solid.
Right? But didn't they get their ass stomped by Miami and Texas A&M? Texas A&M, first time Marcel Reed ever touched a football in college, I think. Again, Texas scored 50 on them.
The Texas was a bad look, but there, you know,
what about Miami? They went up and down the damn field like they weren't even there.
Well, I'm not going to week one. I'm kind of throwing out.
I feel like
you got to throw that one out. And the defense was the reason they lost the Tennessee game. That was Billy Napier. Mm-hmm. But definitely Georgia, Texas, that was really, really bad look. And I mean, to hold LSU and Ole Miss to, 27, 28 points. I think that was pretty impressive. So, I can get behind that. I think a lot of the momentum had to do with the defense side more than the offense. Everybody wants to talk DJ in the offense, but I really felt like the defense is what kind of showcased itself in Florida.
Oh, no doubt. And also Auburn ran his ass off about 18 months ago too.
All right. I was just playing the other side. Sorry, Mike. Don't hit me. We're on TV here.
And then how about Alabama, number 12, defensive coordinator, Cade Wobak. We got to do better than this, Kane. I mean, Vanderbilt, we couldn't stop Vanderbilt to save our life. That was depressing. Jackson Arnold went up and down the field on us. I mean, you ask an Oklahoma fan if Jackson Arnold can hit the broadside of a barn, they tell you no. We were whooping Georgia's ass, and then we just let them. They damn near stole the game from us.
Yeah.
South Carolina, I remember, was going up and down the field on us. We had a big lead on them. I think Cade Wobak, and he's got all the talent in the world. Alabama should be one of the most improved teams in the conference this year. But I'm still not sold on their coordinator being elite on the defensive side of the football.
Definitely should be higher on this list, but I would say this. I would say this guy is a definite candidate for most improved, based off last year, based on the talent they got returning down there in Tuscaloosa. I feel like if any side of this Alabama team's going to shine compared to last season, it will be the defense. Womack may get the credit for it. I doubt it, but keep your eye on the Tide here.
And he's just, think about it, Shane. Of all the things we say about Kalen DeBoer, mm-hmm. I think it's probably even tougher to be Cade Wobak because you're the defensive mastermind, so to speak, after the greatest defensive mastermind. Like literally, you could do the best job you've ever done in your life. I don't think you're going to come close to what it was under Nick Saban. And oh, by the way, basically everybody on the roster was recruited here to be playing for Nick Saban on the defensive side of the football. You know what?
Right, exactly.
All right, number 13. I like this guy a lot, Shane, but it's just hard to evaluate because I don't think he's got the talent. So it's like, well, how the hell do I evaluate this guy? Travis Williams, Arkansas defensive coordinator. I think again, he's a hell of a recruiter. I think he's a really good coach, but I think Ole Miss scored 63 on him. I think LSU, Oklahoma State. I mean, all these teams scoring on him. I don't quite know where to put Travis Williams, but I think if he had a little bit better roster, I think people would see how good of a coach he is.
Yeah. Flashes. And I guess you could say that about both Arkansas coordinators. There were several games that one of these coordinators got the credit, And there were several games
they credit him for Tennessee. It's like solving their offense.
Absolutely. So I got to see it firsthand. It wasn't a pleasant it wasn't a pleasant side, but for the talent that he has, I thought he did a great job. This guy definitely should be higher on the list.
And then number 14, Shane, Mizzou fans are going to hate this. Give me Corey Batoon. I don't know. This is another one. I don't know where the hell to rate this guy. Overall, the numbers are impressive. Mizzou looked solid. I don't think the defense fell off a cliff after Blake Baker left. But A&M did whatever the hell they wanted. Bama did whatever they wanted. South Carolina beat them, and it was a defensive drive that led them there at the end of the game. Oklahoma probably should have beat them, but then we all know what happened there. But again, could have, should have, would have, a lot of these things. So is Corey Batoon awful? No, I don't think that at all. But I think this is the year we kind of really learn who he is and what he's about, if that makes sense, as defensive coordinator at Mizzou.
No, it does make perfect sense. And you know, again, I didn't see a huge drop off with Mizzou. And in fact, I thought the defense played pretty well many of the games. Now, there was some blowouts that we were just like, what the hell happened here? But yeah, this is a guy that I feel like we just got to see some more from him. But you know who I haven't seen in a while, Mike? Dave Hodgson. Yeah. Hi, dude. Over here. Gifted 5 memberships. Dave, yeah. I appreciate you, cuz.
Here's who we gifted to, Shane. John Lee.
Yeah.
Senor Joshua. What a name. Ooh. CLPN. Chuck Bell and Will Butler. You have all been gifted memberships. Thanks to Dave Hodgson.
Welcome
to the family. We appreciate you, Dave.
Who's his team?
The family.
Looks like High Noon. Looks like he's drinking.
Yeah, I had some. You know, I've never had High Noon until last week on the golf course, and those little bastards are dangerous. Ooh. They are dangerous. They go down easy, especially in a hot summer day, and they're not a sponsor on this show, but I tell you what, brother. By about 5 or 6 in, I was starting to feel them real quick.
Yeah, when we went to the Tennessee-Oklahoma game, I think I had about 10 of them.
Did you? Yeah. I
didn't even, I mean, it's just like water.
Yeah, that's the problem. You know? I felt like I was just hydrating the whole time till I was buzzed.
Yeah, so, hey, you're right. Dave is our current leader, right? 25. That's $25.
Well, you got Boomer. Bob, he did a 20 and a $10. So he's...
Oh, okay. He's yeah. Bob's still in the lead here. Right
now, 30. But if this is a Mizzou or an Auburn, then we have a shift in preparation here. So okay. We still got to get High Noon's team of interest, but he's running out of time.
All right. Where are we at? All right. Vanderbilt. I told you total question mark, Steve Gregory. I don't know anything about him. I'm putting him number 15. I think that's fair until further notice. And then 16th ranked defensive play caller in the SEC. Gotta be our guy, Shane. Coleman Hutzler, Mississippi State. Oh, my God, we couldn't stop a nosebleed last year. So is it all on him? Probably not. It's probably on a lack of overall talent. But this is the worst Mississippi State defense I've seen since they had the guy they got from Southern Cal. But, God, what was that guy's name? Peter Sermon. I mean, that defense was god-awful. This was even worse. So, Coleman Hutzler, number 16. I think that's fair, right?
Brodo says, I think Coleman's ranked too high.
Hey,
ask you this real quick before we give Roast a shout. If Lee would have been the coordinator, where would you have put him on this list?
Oh, buddy, I would have had to shoot him up to probably...
like five? Five or six?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay, I'm right there with you.
I think so. He was a hell of a defensive play caller. All right. Yeah, Rasta.
Welcome to the family. The
family. We appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, cuz.
Trying to think if I got a...
Hook 'em horns.
There you go, hook 'em horns. All right, so we've done all the offensive and defensive coordinators.
Got Mississippi State here. Mr. Sip says, Cousin Shane, explain any reason for Hustler still being here. None. I've got nothing. He's got a cool last name, you know?
Yeah, he does have a he does have a good name. I was going to do this for him.
Hale State.
Yeah, Hale State.
here's the beauty of having Coleman Hutzler.
Mm-hmm.
Your offense is going to get plenty of snaps if he's your defensive coordinator.
And I'll ask. I know we're coming to an end. We've gone too long, but any of the coordinators on these lists, let's say below 10, that you're looking at saying, hey, optimist, let's just say there's a chance this guy shoots to the top. Is there one for offense, one for defense? And we're talking 10 or below. And any of those guys, you kind of have an asterisk saying, you know, this could be something.
Maybe Womack, Alabama defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Year two, he could show me something. And maybe... what if Mizzou catches fire on offense? And then it's Kirby Moore. 2 out of 3 years, you're elite.
Yeah.
That's one. Maybe Oklahoma's offensive court. Let's say Oklahoma's gangbusters. Ben Arbuckle's got to come shooting up the list. And then how about for Jackpot there, Mike Shula? I mean, again, if Lenore Sellers is the best quarterback in the conference, I think Shula deserves all the respect in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Just throwing that out there.
All right. So final rankings. Remember, Shay, so I did offense and defense. We combined them. We want a low score, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's got the best coordinators in the SEC? Who's got the biggest, baddest, best everything in the SEC? According to their fans.
Texas.
Texas wins it again, Shay. They scored three because they got two elite minds there. So give me Texas. Ole Miss, number two. How about that, Shane, with Kiffin in Golding? We got Georgia, number three. Tennessee, number four. Oklahoma, five. A&M, six. Arkansas, seven. Bama, eight. Florida, nine. South Carolina, 10. Auburn, 11. LSU, 12. Mississippi State, 13. Vanderbilt, 14. Mizzou, 15. Ugh. And Kentucky, 16. I feel like I have horribly underrated Mizzou. But it is what it is.
It's your list, man. We're just listening to it.
I'll make sure to tag you on that one. You know what?
Absolutely. And we got team previews coming up. So this is a big one. Appreciate all the donations today, all the cousins becoming family members. We're going to have a wild ride. So I appreciate you guys hanging out. So right now, it looks like Bob won. So I appreciate you. We're going to do Oklahoma tomorrow. So
Tuesday.
Yeah, sorry. One of those days. Tuesday, we're going to do Oklahoma, and we'll keep up the list, and maybe we can get your team up sooner than later. But they're fun. I absolutely love them. We're going to do it top to bottom and have an optimistic look. We talk about the scheduling. Always a fun time. But Mike, yeah, brother. Long show. I appreciate you, man. Appreciate all the work you put in.
Yeah, be prepared for Shane to say 13-0 for every damn team. But you know what?
You know it's coming. You know it's coming.
But yeah, so that's going to do it for this episode of the show. We appreciate each and every one of you. Look forward to that Oklahoma fall preview on Tuesday. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.